And it is the weekend after Thanksgiving, a great time to check out those movies you've been meaning to see. And joining us in the studio with some suggestions is Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Ty, great to see you as always.
Thanks, Magda.
Okay, so this is the last Thanksgiving that I, first and foremost, I need to say that we'll be talking about a Hunger Games film, because Mockingjay Part 2 is out, the last part in the series. It opened last week. How do you think it does?
Well, it does a lot better than the first half, Mockingjay Part 1. It was a movie that ran along for 2 hours and then kind of hit a wall. The second one is where all the story is, and it's actually a much, much better movie. It's also really grim going. This is a apocalyptic war movie, not exactly the kind of thing to lift your spirits after a, you know, big holiday meal. But if you followed the series this far, it's quite good. It's quite moving. And Jennifer Lawrence, you know, God love her. She carries this part and carries all the weight of it, of this young woman who's been chosen to be sort of the Joan of Arc of her generation. Doesn't, you know, play it up as some sort of glittering star role, which is not what the movie's about. You really feel the seriousness and impact of this story. If you're coming to it cold, forget it. You'll be totally lost. But it is also nice to see some of the other actors in it, including the last bit we'll ever see from Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, of course, right. Well, let's just listen to a scene, of course, with Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss and Josh Hutcherson as Peeta, her fellow Hunger Games competitor and fiancé. So in Mockingjay Part 1, he'd been captured by the evil Capitol. And in this scene from Mockingjay Part 2, he's telling Katniss how he had been brainwashed.
When they used the venom on me, they would show me pictures of my life. At first, they all blurred together, but now I can sort them out a little. Like the ones that they changed, they have this quality. It's like they're shiny. They've been glossed over.
You should get some rest.
You're still trying to protect me. Real or not real?
Real.
Now, Ty, obviously there has to be some sort of romantic subplot in a blockbuster like
doesn't
this.
Doesn't have to be.
I wish there didn't, but I guess there kind of does. But Katniss isn't... She's not a typical heroine by
any means. Well, I mean, by this point, everybody looks kind of bored with the romance, the, you know, the Team Peeta, Team, you know, whatever the other guy's name is. Gale, thank you. It's the weakest part of the movies. But unlike, you know, the Twilight movies, it really doesn't feel primary to what's going on, which is, again, a very sort of, it's a war movie. It's one of the best in the series. And if you've been following it along, it wraps it up better than I expected.
Can we talk just for a second about Katniss, the character, and how a lot of people have been saying that she's kind of redefining female heroines now in film?
I think that's probably true. The drama of the Hunger Games movies is her wrestling with her responsibility as a leader, as an icon, not as a girlfriend. And I'm kind of curious to see the next wave of post-Hunger Games young adult books and series to see what they do with that, because I do think it's been an advance and that Lawrence plays it right.
Well, let's switch gears here a little bit, Ty, because maybe some folks out there want pure escapism this weekend. And that means the new Bond film, Spectre. And we've got a scene with, of course, Daniel Craig as Bond and Christoph Waltz as his evil nemesis.
So, James, why did you come?
I came here to kill you.
And I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.
Ah, Bond dialogue. Ty, this is Daniel Craig's fourth time as James Bond. How does he do?
And reportedly his last. Well, the thing about Daniel Craig is that he brought this new gravitas to the character that has been interpreted in various ways. We think of Roger Moore. That's about as light as you can get. Daniel Craig in Casino Royale brought it back to sort of this gritty reality that felt in part of the temper of the times.
Right.
And the weird thing is that the movies since then have been kind of moving back toward the Bondian center, if you will. And this one, you know, rolls out an Aston Martin with an ejector seat. it rolls out certain characters that I won't spoil. It feels like they're trying to have fun in a very Sean Connery-esque way, or even Roger Moore-esque way. The problem is Daniel Craig doesn't play that
That's
very well.
That's not really him, is
it's,
it? Yeah.
It's a movie that tries to, that wants to have fun and has trouble doing it. It's fine for a Bond film, but to my mind, it's the weakest of the four, or close to.
Well, maybe in that case, if it is Craig's last Bond film, it's the right time for him to move to a different franchise. But if we can, Ty, let's talk about the fact that this is also the time of year where the studios like to bring out their Oscar contenders. You've got a couple that you want to talk about. What are they?
Well, the one that's near to my heart, and I obviously have no critical distance on whatsoever, but luckily a lot of other people seem to like it, is Spotlight, which is, of course, the story of how the Boston Globe in 2001-2002 helped break the story of the Catholic Church scandal over pedophile priests. When I say I have no critical distance on it, there are Hollywood stars playing people I work with and know,
yes.
So which is a very weird thing. But what I like about the movie, I think it's actually one of the great Boston movies in that it gets the how the institutions almost smother the individual will of peoples. There's a clip I think you have, we should hear it, in which Michael Keaton, playing one of the editors at the Boston Globe, is somebody from a friend of the church attempts to talk him out of the story in a way that you can feel all the pressure behind these very gentle words.
You know... You get a lot of people here respect you, Robbie.
Oh, well.
The work you do.
That's good to know.
You know, it's because you care about this place.
Yeah.
It's why you do what you do. It's who you are. You know, but people need the church more than ever right now. You know, you can feel it. And the Cardinal, you know, the Cardinal, he might not be perfect. But we can't throw out all the good he's doing over a few bad apples.
A few bad apples. The few bad apples went on to be dozens and then hundreds and then thousands around the world. So Spotlight is actually getting a ton of critical acclaim. So it's not just you, as you said. Also, there's another one that you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to mention a movie that's been out for about a month now, but I think it's very special, called Room. It sounds like something you would not want to see. It's about a young woman who is trapped by a crazy person in a room that she's been living in for 5 years and has had a child, and the boy is now 5, and it's about their relationship and how he doesn't know anything about the world. And then at a certain point, she's freed and then has to adjust back to the world, and he has to adjust to a world that he's only seen on television and never has really thought was real. And it's actually a surprisingly gentle and quite beautiful film. And I kind of urge people to see it. And I think Brie Larson will be certainly talked about for Best Actress Awards, and deservedly so.
So there's one other film that I think is worth mentioning, mostly because of the story and who plays the lead role. This is Legend, starring British actor Tom Hardy. Tell us about it.
That's a movie about the Cray twins, which were kind of London's own double Whitey Bulgers back in the 60s.
They East End gangsters.
Yeah, East End gangsters. One charming, one psycho, both bad to the bone, and both played by the wonderful British actor Tom Hardy. It's a perfectly okay British gangster film, but Tom Hardy is spectacular in it. He really convinces you that he's two different people. There's one scene where he has a fight with himself, and I still don't figure out quite how they did that.
Wow, yeah, because Ronnie and Reginald Cray were identical twins. So Tom Hardy starring in both roles there. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Ty, but before we go, we do have to touch on one film that everyone's excited about. Oh, I feel myself reverting to my 12-year-old self just hearing it. Of course, that is the new Star Wars movie.
Yes. Hopes are high because George Lucas isn't directing. I hate to say it, but it's true.
It's true.
The last three. J.J. Abrams is, and he did such a wonderful job at rebooting the Star Trek franchise a bunch of years ago that even for somebody who was too old for Star Wars when it came around, I was a snotty film student, and I only enjoyed the movie years later when I saw it through my children's eyes. So I'm not one of these people that's going to be camping out to buy a ticket. I'm looking forward to it. And definitely now that J.J. Abrams has a hand in it, they're bringing back the original cast, Harrison Ford.
Carrie Fisher,
Mark Hamill, plus a bunch of new actors. It looks good.
And I love how they're sticking to production values that feel authentic, too.
Yes.
I have to say, I'm kind of irrationally excited about this movie. I feel 12 years old all over again, but some movies do that to us.
Feel the force.
I do. It awakens. Well, we've been talking about some films that you might want to check out this weekend and in the weeks to come with Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Ty, it is always great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Magna.